We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Are you ready?
It's Afternoons with OMF.
It is interesting to me that we're hearing about a lot of Patriots the year that Tom Brady won't be there.
I'm looking at whether or not this is going to be a trickle, is going to become a flood.
Correct. There is no I in team, but there is an I in COVID.
This could be the beginning of the end of the football season.
If Brady was still the quarterback there, do you think these players would be opting out?
I don't think that would happen. I've made over $30 million. I have three rings. I'm over 30 years old. This seems like it's going to be a bit of a cluster.
How about some good news for Patriots fans? Marcus Cannon, Dante Hightower, Patrick Chung, they opt out. One guy who almost opt out.
I got two things that I'm feeling kind of about.
And that's Matt Slater.
How do we feel, Oh,
yeah!
Okay.
Oh, you suck, Ordway.
Right now on Sports Radio WEEI.
How do we feel about Matthew Slater opting in? How do we feel?
That's better than him opting out, I'll tell you that much. Yeah. I mean, yeah. Hell.
Yeah.
You already lost half your freaking team.
Yeah, you're right there. So the big fella's off today. Apparently he's off again tomorrow. Wasn't he just off a few days ago? Didn't we sit here and compliment him about, you know, well-deserved vacation? Wasn't that just like recently? Is he working some scam that you and I don't know about?
And that's okay, you know, because we're still, OMF.
Yeah,
right? That's right.
Fitzy's in the house.
Hey, that's right.
We're still OMF. So Fitzy, I think what he's been doing is lately is you know, taking the whole Thursday Friday thing, you know, the Friday off, you know, getting the constant long weekends all summer. Like, I think by the time he comes back in the fall, I don't know if he's worked a full week all summer long. He's going to get used to 5 days.
If I could do as little Fourier doing the Sound of Music as possible the rest of the show, you cannot hold it against the big guy that he'd be taking Fridays off in the summertime, because even though summer looks like spring, which looks like the winter, which is all suck in the year of the pandemic, it's a pro move. And like you said, as long as you have an M or an F in your name, then you keep us on brand.
Sure.
This is OMF. It's just Ordway, Maloney,
and Fitzy. So if I happen to be out, we need Mutt.
Boom.
Right? Foyer's out, we bring in Fitzy.
Mm-hmm.
Perfect. There we go. Ordway's out. I don't know what the hell do we do. What do we do, Ordway? We go MFers.
What the hell you do. You'd have to find something out there in the street. I don't know. Poor Mutt, by the way. We'll get to it a little bit later on. Is anybody watching him today? I'm a little bit concerned. They blew up the gambling bill last night in the Senate floor, and I'm a little bit concerned about
Festina Lente.
Yeah, the street team is actually, we have the street team monitoring the Zakim right now to make sure he doesn't
throw himself off. Very careful
this
about
state them. State hates money.
Yeah. So we start today with Tommy Curran. Why? Because I think he got himself into a little bit of hot water. So this is what Tommy Curran said yesterday. He was convinced, if you remember, and we brought this up, that if Tom Brady was here, we would have less players opting out because the Patriots would be championship caliber.
If Brady was still the quarterback there, do you think these players would be opting out?
I asked the same question yesterday. No, I don't. I don't think that would happen. Look, Marcus Cannon is a cancer survivor. I think that is on its own planet.
Yeah.
And Hightower and Chung both have newborns or soon to have newborns. But I think when these players look at it, they're like, I've made over $30 million. I have three rings. I'm over 30 years old. This seems like it's going to be a bit of a cluster. We're going to sit there in our cars and wait to get into the facility to have our nose swabbed one by one every day. Then after the nose swab, we have to go through this process of getting into the locker room, then into the training room, then onto the practice field for a season that might not happen. And I think that a lot of those players are like, do I want to do that to go in there and go 7-9 with Jarrett Stidham or Cam Newton or whatever we're trying to do? If Brady was there though, Dan, I don't think 7-9 would be in the conversation. So no, I don't think that there would be this many players opting out because they would be championship caliber.
That pissed off some people, didn't it?
Patrick Chung. Here's Patrick Chung's response. Damn, Mr. Curran, I say this with love. You sound like an idiot.
I say this with love. Go ahead, keep going.
You sound like an idiot. Beautiful. Doesn't hurt the friendship. You're not in the doghouse. But don't let your job corrupt your brain, man. You know better than that.
Yeah. So, I do like that now.
Say this with love.
I mean, Tommy Curran came right back, and he's, I'm sorry, Patrick. Offense was not intended, reflecting more. I see why it is offensive. So, Tommy Curran came back and was like, just trying to spitball some theories out there on personal, you know, matters, which I understand it may be offensive and sensitive, whatever, whatever, whatever.
He's done a lot of that lately.
Yeah, he has. He did an awful lot of that stuff. But, listen, I don't agree with Tom. At all, you know. I think we've had this discussion. Who was it? Is it Curtis or is it Laird?
It's Curtis. This was yesterday. Curtis kept hammering this point home all morning long on the Greg Hill show.
Nobody would be. Yeah, it's gonna. No one's gonna. Yeah.
Okay, we got it. Well, okay, great. Oh, great. I'd actually almost rather not hear Curtis's voice. But go ahead.
We have to. Right.
Well, no. You're saying that the fact that Tom Brady isn't there is a factor.
Of course.
And pushed these guys over the edge.
Oh, so if Brady's here, Chung, Hightower, and Cannon are all playing.
Yes,
that's what he said.
Don't you think that
then they're lying about the fact
it's not a lie. It's partially true.
You can't.
Then it's partially false.
You can't have it that way.
Yes, you can. You can love your children and decide you're still going to play because you always want to be on a contender. And for the first time in your career, you see the writing on the wall. Can I finish a sentence?
You're not making sense, though. When you say that, you're basically saying that these guys are being fraudulent about why they're walking away.
I do not think they're being fraudulent. I believe that they are telling the truth when they say they want to be with their newborn. But if Tom Brady were still here and they had a chance to win a Super Bowl, in my opinion, they would still play.
Yes.
I say this with love, Curtis. You sound like an idiot.
In Patrick Chung voice, you sound like
an idiot. Yes. Yeah, listen, I don't agree with Curtis. I don't agree with Tommy Curran. Uh-uh. So what team do you think, in your guys' opinions, has a really good chance of winning a Super Bowl next year?
Kansas City Chiefs.
Okay, yeah. And what have they done? They lost their starting running back and their starting, was it the tackle?
Right guard.
Right guard.
Okay, so those guys are just like, okay, I mean, I'm pretty sure everybody thinks the Kansas City Chiefs are going to be in the Super Bowl.
Yep.
So I don't think if Brady was here, I don't think they would sit there and say, I know. First off, if Brady was here, I still don't think it's a championship team. I don't. I don't like the roster, so I don't think it's a championship team.
I would agree.
So I think most people would on that team who have decided, look at their own personal situation and say, yeah, it's just not worth it. I think you're better off with the argument. I think Tommy Curran has said this before as well. You look at each of these guys' individuals' careers. They've made money. They've won Super Bowls. You know, each of them, Hightower, this might have been his last year.
Mm-hmm.
Matter of fact, nobody would be shocked, you know, if he got cut. It's just that they have no linebackers.
He's only 8 years into his career.
This could be Patrick Chung's last year, right?
He was thinking about retiring.
Cannon's made a lot of money.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you know, and Vitaly's a fullback. He's probably just tired of getting hit, hitting people. So, I mean, I think it's more about their individual situations, what they've already accomplished in their career to go with what's going on in their personal life.
And listen, I think Curran figured it out right away when he got that response from Patrick Chung. Chung was already thinking of retiring, if you remember, guys, in his past year. So
he decided to sign an extension instead.
Well, it was like his 19th contractual reworking.
Yeah, so maybe there's a little bit.
I don't know if I want to retire. Maybe I'll play with three more.
Maybe. I'll say this about Tommy Curran. We love Tommy Curran, and I've known Tom for I can't tell you how many years, and I think he's great and terrific reporter and whatever. I also think he got a little too close to the whole Tom Brady thing.
Oh, thanks, bro.
He's also in a period right now where you're graveling to find stories. You can't find stories. Everybody's out there saying there's no sports. What do we do? And he said, oh, this will be something I could write. But I think, again, his attachment to Brady is showing here with a story like this. I don't think Brady has anything to do with it. Zero. Nothing to do with those guys. They're doing it all on their own.
Yeah, well, as they said in the morning show, like, it's partially true, it's partially false. It's 100% ridiculous to think that these guys would be forced, that Tom Brady would talk them into or would find a way to veritably force them into playing because he would use some sort of like secret code or he would have, you know, Guerrero come in and like stare into their eyes.
Try my TB12 immunity potion.
Guys, you can have all the protect you want.
Look at guys on my team, Cameron Brate, they got COVID. I don't. I take my immunity. Why does Tom Brady talk like land?
I'll make sure there's elderberry syrup coming out all the water fountains. You guys will be just fine. Zinc for everybody. No, there's no chance in the world. Glenn, the reason why these guys have opted out is not because Brady's gone, and it's not just for love of children. It's because, yes, they value their lives, and of course they've made tens of millions of dollars, but they have rings. Who wouldn't want to be able to take a year off the tires and, you know, put some fresh back in your legs and at the same time not have to subject yourself to bringing COVID-19 into the home with newborn for Danny Vitale, Lou? You've got newborns on the way for Chung, newborn for Hightower. Like, I don't, you know.
Cancer for Cannon.
Yeah, and non-Hodgkin's lymphoma for cancer, which puts him super high risk.
The other guy, because I don't consider it six, I consider it five.
He's got something. We'll figure it out.
What's he got?
Well, he was.
What position is he?
He was pissed Brady wasn't back. He was pissed. He wanted to play with Brady.
Yeah.
He wanted to play with Brady, and he said he was pissed. Mm-hmm. Listen, I think most guys know that if you have, you're more high risk if you've got a pre-existing condition. So you look at these players, and virtually every one of them are dealing with that. Or, as you said, Fitzy, they've already got the ring. They're toward the end of the career. Patrick Chung's not coming back. I mean, I don't think Dante Hightower's coming back. They're looking at it saying, that's it. You know, I made enough money. I got a good family. Everything's cool. I don't want to spread it to the child or whatever. Right. That's what's going on here. The Brady stuff's got to stop, and I think Curran did it yesterday because he was talking about how quickly Brady posted, you know, with Gronk going back and forth, almost as if they were saying, we're ready to go, and the Patriots are falling apart. Are we going to do this all season long next year?
Glenn, as a matter of fact, let me just update you. Patrick Chung, obviously very active on Twitter the last day or so since his opt-out, someone tweeted, "We have seen our last season of Patrick Chung in a Patriots uniform," some guy named Matt Ellison. He quote tweeted and said, "That was a dream that you wanted." So I don't think he's necessarily I think if anything, if he takes this year off, he could potentially, meaning like somebody wants to see Chung out of the league and he's joking, saying like, oh, that's what you wanted. He's not confirming nor denying it, but I don't think this is necessarily the last you've seen. If anything, this gives him a better chance of maybe playing one more year by taking a year off because he was this close. He looked two steps behind last year, don't you think?
Dude, if I was a fullback, I wouldn't mind taking a year off.
Right.
I'm just saying. Right. I gotta keep pounding in that offensive line next year. He'll be Vitale. Be like, okay, I'm ready to go. Let's go.
He takes a year off. Jakob Johnson probably.
Hightower is a different story, though. Maybe,
but when you're the middle linebacker, though, in a defense that's going to have to take all the go up against Baltimore and Kansas City this year, it's a good idea.
All right, sounds like there was a possibility there would be more players opting out for the New England Patriots, and something switched, something changed at the last moment. We'll get to all of that and tell you what happened coming up next, right here on OMF Fitzy in today for Christian.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
The show Bill Belichick can't stop listening to.
Honestly, I don't listen to the show a lot.
OMF.
F Bill.
On WEEI.
Those who know Bill Belichick say that the next time that he says expectations are lowered for the Patriots would be the first time that that ever happens. And this is how it was described to me by someone within the Patriots organization, is that the top four players that opted out, that they were all older. they're going to be leaving this team within the next year or two. And the Patriots have invested significant draft capital in trying to develop replacements for those players. So it doesn't necessarily lower the expectations for the team, but it accelerates the timeline for their young players to step up for some of these players that have opted out.
Well, that may be part of the problem, that the young players who have not performed well, draft picks in the last couple of years, it's been an ongoing complaint by Lou Maloney, I may add, they better perform right now. Uche, Duggar, they're going to have to now give you a lot more, right?
No more redshirt seasons.
No,
Glenn.
Nope.
Can't happen. Not with this group.
There's
can't
no more
happen.
Draft and stash on the Patriots.
No.
Kyle Duggar, Josh Uche, possibly even Onwenu, depending on what goes on. These guys are going to see real live NFL action in their first season.
And no more, just when I say redshirt, a lot of these guys go on IR, right? And you lose them their first year.
Right.
But Damian Harris, Juwan Williams.
Right. They were draft and stash last year. This year, Rohrwasser, how about Anthony Jennings? He's going to have to step in because see John Simon have to play more. Who knows? It's going to be Bentley at the middle, but then you're going to have this rotation of first and second year guys who have a load of promise, obviously a ton of energy, and the best thing, opportunity.
Fitchy, by the way, I've gone from a 9.5 over under to 8.
What?
Eight wins.
A full game and a half?
8 wins, yeah. Yeah, I wasn't crazy about the 9.5. It was more of like 9 in the hook, you know what I mean? But right. I wanted to sit at 9.
Uh-huh.
But with these opt-outs, I started looking at, I'm counting like 14 guys from this team and a lot of those leaders. And I'm down to 8. I'm down to 8. You know what? By the end of the show, you might talk me into 7.5. I don't know.
Fitzy,
7.5?
Well, I'm just letting you know.
Oh.
Fitzy,
oh,
you still at 14?
Glenn, I was 10-6 with Stidham. I bumped it up a game to 11-5 with Cam.
I was misinformed.
All right, fine.
I apologize for that.
You still at 11? In all honesty, you still at 11 with all the opt-outs, the 5 guys.
I hate playing the what-if game, and I know what-if-ism drives sports radio, but if Cam Newton is healthy and he delivers on the promise and potential we've seen in all of these hype videos, comes back 2018 first half of the season, Cam Newton, 11-5.
You just made a mistake. You're filling in for Fourier. Fourier does not allow if Cam Newton is healthy. That sentence cannot be uttered.
I know.
But his program, according to him, even though it is the biggest question mark we have about Cam
Newton. Thank you.
But come on. Sometimes, it's more fun to eat the way the babysitter allows you to as opposed to when your parents when your parents are home. Come on.
I slipped
it by without Christian being in here.
So we were hearing that Matthew Slater might opt out. That was the word yesterday. And the fear was that if he opted out, could it have a domino effect and maybe the Bacourti say, because they've been lukewarm to all of this, maybe they walk out as well. Mike Garofolo talking about Slater, talking about him being a team captain, a good sign he opted in.
How about some good news for Patriots fans? I feel bad. For the neglected Patriots fans, you lost Tom Brady in the offseason. You see Rob Gronkowski follow him. And then just the other day, Marcus Cannon, Dante Hightower, Patrick Chung, they opt out. Well, one guy who almost opted out, he did decided not to. And that's Matt Slater. I was told that Slater was leaning toward opting out. And Rappaport eventually tracked down Slater, who said, no, it was a tough decision, but I will be playing. I gather that some other guys were looking towards Slater to seeing what he was going to do. So it's possible this list could have grown even more if Slater had opted out.
Team captain, and he's right. It's an important guy back. Special teams guy, but an important guy back in that he's one of those leaders. And leaders are going to be important in that locker room this year.
Yeah, that's big. I mean, and for that leadership. He's
no
a special
Tom Brady
teamer.
Here.
I understand that. But leadership, not just Brady, but when you look at Hightower and Chung, I think that's what you lost with those two guys, and I think Harmon as well. So right up the gut. You lost a lot of guys. So he comes back for leadership, and I think that's good. Now the question is, does if I flip it on Curtis? Oh, because Matthew Slater stayed. Does that mean others are staying? Ooh.
Matthew Slater is an emotional leader on the team. Lou, who are the first two guys as the Patriots' hemorrhage talent this offseason? First two guys that Belichick re-signed? Devin McCourty, Matthew Slater. Mm-hmm. Why? In my opinion, because he knew he needed a veteran presence and leadership, not only just in the back end of the strongest part of the team, but in that locker room as they were undergoing a massive sea change this year. And now that Slater stays, maybe that's what helps the McCourtys stay, because from the guy, from that little source that I had where Bolden left, I'd heard also that the McCourties were kind of sitting on the fence. They've hemmed it. They've talked about it on their Double Coverage podcast. They've been very vocal about expressing concern that they're not sure how the virus is going to react with them, and that they've got young kids, and that they're legitimately concerned.
I don't think anybody would be surprised by that. I mean, we've been following, playing some sound from these guys on their podcasts, and it almost sounds like, when you listen to them, like, wow, these guys, I could see these guys opting out. And if that happens... Oof. If that was to happen, now we might go to a flat seven.
Oh, flat seven.
Flat seven.
From 9.5 to flat seven.
Well, yeah. I mean, if you lose Jason McCourty, Devin McCourty, Hightower, Chung, your right tackle and Cannon, yes, your fullback, because now Sony sucks. He can't run unless he has a fullback or two of the best blocking tight ends in football.
Is Sony Michel Al Horford with a football?
Very much so. For Lou?
Yes.
Very much so.
But here's the thing. Sony doesn't even do the little things.
No.
He doesn't even do the little things.
Oh, he was like a grad.
What does he do? What's the little thing that he does? I mean, Al, he spread the floor. He dribbled the ball up. The guy was a point guard.
Yeah.
I mean, he did all those set of screen. Nobody set a screen like Al. Oh.
There are nights that he just plays like an average player.
By the way, he's an average player in
Philadelphia. Who shoots a better 29-foot flat-footed three from the top of the key better than Al Horford? But who does a better Lawrence Maroney impersonation than Sony Michel?
Well, yeah, I'm at flat seven if the McCourties are out.
That's not good.
So you think there's a chance the McCourties could still, I mean, I think that's still a chance, correct?
If Massachusetts allowed betting right now, I would open up my DraftKings app and I would put money on the McCourties staying now because
of Slater.
I think Slater basically just kind of saved the season in a lot of ways by opting in.
Matthew Slater saved the season.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, see, I think we have a long way to go, Fitzy, with all of this. And I noticed that the networks are putting graphs up there and saying the Patriots have six and all these teams have two and one or whatever. I think it's a long way to go. I think more guys may freak out when they come back and they start seeing some of these conditions and what they have to do. And what happens if guys start testing positive? You don't think that's going to freak people out? It will.
Glenn, today is day four of the testing. So every Patriots player had to get tested Monday and Wednesday or Tuesday and Thursday. And if they had two negative tests, then they're going to be allowed to do their first day of practice tomorrow. So all the guys should know that they're in the clear. Now, if a bunch of guys pop and test positive by tomorrow, that'd be bad news. But so far, we haven't heard any word leak out of a flood or sea of Patriots players testing positive. That would be the first good sign.
But we've also seen how this goes, Fitzy, and that is sometimes it takes a while. We thought the Phillies were in the clear 2 days ago, right? Mm-hmm. With the whole situation with the Marlins, and now you got a clubhouse guy and you got a coach testing positive, and they've shut down the Phillies organization to the point they're not even going to play this weekend. Oh, so man. I think
what do I do with my weekend?
There's a long way.
They shut down the facility, but they have a doubleheader schedule for Saturday, correct?
So, I thought they canceled that game already.
Yeah, Lou, the games are Dunsky.
The Phillies already canceled this weekend?
They've canceled the Philly until further notice.
Holy smokes. What was that, taking a dump?
Yeah, you must have missed that news. No, that's bad. No, and they're concerned that there are possibly more tests, and sometimes it takes a couple of days for them to get an accurate read or for it to actually show in somebody's system. So they've got to shut it down now. They've got to shut it down until they know that there's nobody else that's positive. So we have a way to go. No, I think this changes by the day.
2 o'clock.
Yeah, it changes by the day, guys. And with football, it's going to change, too.
It'll change by the day. But, Glenn, if there's one organization, if you're the Miami Marlins and the New England Patriots could not represent opposite ends of the sports spectrum anymore, what organization do you expect to take things more seriously, be buttoned up, and act like a professional?
So you're telling me that the disease, the little virus here, the big virus, is fearful of Bill Belichick? Is that what you're telling me?
No, what I'm telling you, Glenn, is that if there's any organization you would expect to take their lives seriously and not put themselves in high-risk activities or environments, it would be the Patriots. You're the Miami Marlins.
You
get a 60-game season. You're going to win, 14 games? What do you care if you're going to go to a strip club in
Atlanta? I trust the organization and the front office because I think they're mature and they've done this a zillion times before.
Correct.
Fitzy, they're bringing 80 guys in here. You don't know whether any one of those 80 guys are going to drift off of the campus and do something that they shouldn't be doing.
But there was like a dozen Marlins that went to a strip club in Atlanta, Glenn. There's a huge difference.
A little different.
Well, they say it didn't happen. They say it happened on the plane.
Uh-huh.
It's a very innocent thing that happened.
Sure.
All right, the one thing we do know is that Cam Newton is here. He's been here for the last few days. Is he no longer Superman? Well, apparently, that's what the latest survey with NFL coaches believes. We'll get to all of that and your phone calls at 617-779-7937. Are these people underestimating Cam Newton? We'll get to it next.
You know what makes this different is they ain't never seen this Cam. They ain't never seen him. You want to know how I know? They ain't never seen him. The forgotten Cam. Felt like I was just left to die. It's over with for him. He ain't the same player.
I was told reliably that, you know, people that have been working out with Cam Newton, that Cam's been unbelievable. He's been unbelievable.
That's Cam Newton and followed by Mike Lombardi. I'm sure he is unbelievable because he's not taking any hits out there. There's nobody defending any of the receivers he's throwing to. You would expect him to look terrific. And that's why I'm wondering where this little research survey came out of. It's Mike Sando of The Athletic. So he went and he interviewed coaches about these different players. So let me give you what one coach said who placed Cam Newton in the third tier. Okay, so they placed quarterbacks in the first tier, second tier, third tier, fourth and fifth tier or whatever. He finished in the third tier when you added it up with 29 overall votes. This coach said, "I don't think he is Superman anymore. Remember when Kaepernick became vegan? Changed his body, and he just wasn't as dynamic of an athlete anymore. Cam was 265 and bigger than anybody, everybody. He looks skinny now, like he's 235 and wants to have ripped abs, and that's his choice. Is he going to have that power running element?"
This guy's getting on him because he's a vegan?
You gotta be kidding, right?
Like, yeah, well, I think they're doing the
remember
the
Kaepernick. When Kaepernick became a vegan? I mean, really, we're going to go
I
vegan?
I do remember, yes. But
I'm just saying, he should have just left that line out and just said, you know what, he's 265, I don't know, 235, he looks bigger than that. I would say he's like 245.
Yeah, I think he looks bigger than 235.
But maybe, you know, this 265 was too big.
Tell us about how you were able to bring Cam Newton down today. Well, you know, I think it's because he's been eating Impossible Burgers and not actual burgers now. So I think his vegan body made it easier for me to bring him down on that fourth and goal run. That's absolute nonsense. The guy, there isn't another player, let alone another quarterback, who's built like this guy. And if anything, Glenn, the year and a half he's basically spent off being injured and now repairing and retraining his body, plus the stress that he's taken off his body by not eating meat and switching to a vegan diet, if anything, we may actually see a more nimble, healthy, and fleet of foot Cam Newton. Now, is he going to have?
Yeah, I think that's a stretch, too.
Is he going to have the padding that he had at 265? No, but he sure as hell may be faster than he's been in a long time.
Yeah, I think that's a stretch. He hasn't taken a hit in a year and a half, and so you're looking at it right now, and you've got to wonder what it's going to be like when he has to go out there and take that physical.
But you downplayed the fact that Lombardi said everybody thinks he looks great now because he hasn't gotten hit. You said, I mean,
he hasn't.
Okay. But with him, does he have to get hit before he can prove to you that he's healthy? I mean, if we're worried about his ankle, if we're worried about his shoulder, and he's running really well right now, looks 100%, if he's throwing the ball really well right now and the shoulder looks healthy, isn't that what you're looking for?
No, I told you.
You're going to sit there and say, well, you know, he runs, so he could get hurt week eight. Well, okay. But right now, we're just worried about him being healthy from the injuries he's had in the past, the injury he had last year, and if he looks good, running well, throwing well, then I would say you got a healthy Cam Newton. Once you get into the season, he starts taking hits. Hey, listen, anything could happen with anybody.
Yeah, I got a bunch of things on the list right now that concern me that are red flags. He was not here in the spring. He has not apparently been doing a lot of the Zoom stuff with the team. So he hasn't really acclimated himself or understood what they're doing yet.
You mean like he's not doing Zoom now?
Then he may be doing it now, but he has not been apparently.
Well, he wasn't on the team, Glenn.
And I think that's right. He just showed up here recently in the last
week. So has he been doing the Zoom lessons recently?
He may have been doing them because they're all doing them now. But he got here and he became part of this team at a late period of time. It was the end of June. That to me, again, is an issue. He does not have much time. He doesn't have preseason games. It's not an easy system.
Yeah, it is.
Christian said it's easy to pick up.
Christian always says it's easy. It's no big deal.
You know why Christian's saying that?
He's going to fix the terminology. Yeah. Once you understand that, it's no big deal. He's fine.
Christian's saying that because he wants you to believe he's really smart.
No, I just think that a guy like Jared Stidham that's been here for 12 months versus a guy that's been there for 8 years in the league.
It's an advantage.
And it's a huge advantage for Cam. Huge advantage.
No, it is. It's the other way.
You think
it's an advantage for Stidham.
All right.
Huge advantage
Glenn,
for Cam.
Let me ask you this. Do you trust Mike Girardi? Do you think Mike Girardi's reasonably plugged in? Do you think he's got a good idea of what's going on in
the
NFL?
Sure, all these guys are plugged in, but it doesn't necessarily mean they know what's going to happen to Cam Newton.
All right.
Anybody that's telling you they know what's going to happen to Cam Newton is lying to you, right? We have no idea. Well, there's so
we
many.
We don't have crystal balls, Glenn. We don't know what's going to happen with Tom Brady. We don't know what's going to happen with Pat Mahomes.
We're all making our opinion here, Fitzy. Everybody's making his opinion.
You're playing make-believe lately.
So Girardi's opinion is no different than anybody else's.
Well, no, this isn't Girardi's opinion. I wanted to relay this to you. He tweeted out yesterday, and this has been making the rounds now that, of course, we're relaying other people's opinions on Cameron Newton. Did some digging on Cam Newton. Those who have worked out with him and or watched the workers say he has been spinning it and the arm is lively. Now, you know how I feel about these workouts, but guys that I trust weren't like, yeah, he's got issues. My other question on Newton was his weight. He was somewhere between 255 and 265 his MVP year. There are some that feel like he's dropped a decent amount of that mass. Will this impact his power running? I guess we will not know for a bit. Translation, we'll have to wait till he takes it to the field to see if this new lean, mean, muscular, vegan frame of Newton can withstand the rigors of being a running quarterback in an RPO system. But as far as the arm and his movement, he looks great.
Okay, but that's fair.
He's
throwing some possible red flags for you, possible negatives out there. He's doing the same thing that we just heard in the cut about from one of the coaches about the vegan diet and about losing weight. I don't know if that's an issue with him. Can he be different? Maybe he can be a little bit more pliable out there with the loss of weight. Is that possible? I don't know. All I'm saying is I think there are far more red flags. I think people who believe that he's just going to walk in here and be anywhere close to where he was in 2015, I think that's hard to believe. I find it really hard to believe. And then you're dealing with an injury situation. And to me, he's not going to get much contact during camp. I don't like
Which
that
is good.
Because I think that is an issue with him right
you're
now.
You're afraid of him getting hurt, but you... You think no contact is a bad thing?
Yes, because I think you have to have that contact to be able to understand how you're going to react with it. How are you going to react with it back in the pocket?
Like how the new shoulder's going to hold up, how the repaired foot is going to hold up under the stress of contact in the warm Foxborough summer?
Those are the injuries, ankle and shoulder.
Yeah, I don't think it's an easy plug-and-play position.
His ankle is fine, his shoulder is fine, and he's throwing the ball well, and he's running well, then he is healthy. Okay, he is healthy. He's healthy. When you start playing football, and if you get an injury playing football, it happens to anybody in this league. So, I mean, if his ankle and shoulder are healthy right now, then Cam Newton's healthy.
Yeah.
Period.
That's how it works.
I mean,
except that it.
You're waiting for him to get hurt again.
Okay. An NFL evaluator to The Athletic. Beyond all that, Cam is not inheriting a great supporting cast. Go back in the vault and look at Denver when Josh McDaniels had Tim Tebow. There was not a great receiving core, but they took advantage of an athletic quarterback's ability to run QB power, read option, those things. I don't know how much you can do that with Cam because I don't know what his health is.
Did McDaniels actually ever coach Tebow as a quarterback?
He drafted him, yes.
He drafted him, but did he ever play for McDaniels?
I believe he got some game action in 2000. McDaniels only lasted, don't forget, just over a year and a half. His quarterback in 2009 was Kyle, what's his face there? Kyle Orton, right, of course, the greatest drunk quarterback in NFL history, who beat the Patriots in 2009. And then McDaniels gave everyone that like semi-Nazi salute at Mile High Stadium. Those were weird times. But yes, he did take Tebow. He did get some action. Denver was a mess that year. But Tim Tebow to Cam Newton.
Fair. No, that's not fair.
Big Bang Theory to a Mel Brooks movie. What an insult.
I'm just telling you with an NFL evaluator.
Well, here's the thing. Honestly, the NFL evaluator, let's just question the credibility of this guy. Mm-hmm. Okay, Tebow was there for three games under Josh McDaniels. John Fox was there the next year when he actually played.
Yeah, I was going to say John Fox.
And he's sitting there saying, look, when he was McDaniels had Tebow. They didn't have a great receiving core, but they took advantage of athletic quarterback ability to run. No, Mr. Evaluator. No, he didn't do that. Fox did. Josh had him there for three games, and it was just for three games. So, the evaluator's sitting there talking about McDaniels and Tebow's career together, and then, really, Tebow's really only one year he really played was under John Fox.
All right, so looking at this evaluation with all of these NFL evaluators and coaches and whatever, Cam Newton got 14 votes as a Tier 2 quarterback. Majority of the votes were at tier 3, 29. He had 6 for 4, and he had 1 for 5. So here are the other quarterbacks. He was 19th rated overall in the league. 19th. Is that fair?
Well, that's obviously not Chris Sims, who's the NFL evaluator.
So let me give you the other tier 3 quarterbacks. So tier 3 starts at 14, number 14. Okay. Number 14, Kyler Murray.
Mm-hmm.
Number 15, Kirk Cousins.
Mm-hmm.
Number 16, Jared Goff.
Better be better than him.
Garbage.
17, Jimmy Garoppolo.
Paisan.
18, Ryan Tannehill.
Yep.
19, as I told you, Newton. Number 20, right behind him, Derek Carr.
Yeah. Oh, God.
21, Baker Mayfield.
I would question, I don't mind this list. I mean, whatever order you want to go, but Jared Goff, I wouldn't have Jared Goff in there with these guys.
What a stiff.
I wouldn't do it. But Cam, that's about right. So maybe he drops down to 18. That's about right.
Preseason, but if we see 4 games in, Lou, we could be singing a completely different song.
Well, he could be top 10.
Yep.
He could be.
Could be.
Or he could be sitting right where he is. But I think that's about right. Tier 3.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, I have no problem putting him there, right there with Garoppolo and Tannehill, Derek Carr. Yeah. Okay.
If anything, you could probably say Tannehill might even deserve to be a little bit higher than 20, considering he was the highest rated quarterback in the second half of the 2019 season.
But I think you guys are taking it lightly about the short period of time he's going to have to be able to ramp himself up to this. I think it's going to be far more difficult than you guys do. That's why I think it's more likely Cam Newton ends up starting 3, 4, 6 games into the season than he does in game one.
We're complete opposite ends of this one, and I understand that, because I think the way camp is set up is actually helps him. You know, the fact that there's no contact for a long time helps him. So I don't necessarily need him getting hit a lot. He'll get hit towards the end of camp. But I think those first 2 or 3 weeks of camp, where all they're allowed to do is kind of walkthroughs. So you're talking about 3 weeks of camp where it is just walkthrough, discussion, talk about the offense, go over the terms that he needs to learn, the verbiage and everything in the offense, and getting guys moving in the right direction. I think the way camp is set up helps him, because all he needs to do is get that part of this down, because he's already shown that he can play in this league. It hurts Stidham because he needs real reps against defenders. He is a rookie in my mind still. So he's a guy that still needs to go out there and throw the ball with defenders, because he's still yet to prove he can play in this league. He needs that stuff more than Cam does. And the time sitting down, going over the offense, doing walkthroughs, helps him. It helps him because he's going to get 3 weeks to do it.
And this is what we're all going to do, because you could look at this list and everybody's going from one end of the spectrum to the other. This is a former GM. Said he thought the Patriots with Newton could be the surprise team in the league.
Mm-hmm.
Thought they would win 10-plus games. There you go, Fitzy.
Yeah.
And threaten in the playoffs. You could put Cam as a 4, but I think he's a 3. And if he's healthy, there we go again. Sorry, Christian. If he's healthy, there's that phrase. If he buys into what they do, I think he's got a chance, said this ex-GM. I've always thought he was a baller. Is this Charlie Cassidy? He's tough. He adds an element a lot of guys don't add. If he can get short to intermediate timing down, he's going to be a pretty good fit. He's a top 20 guy in this league if his arm is healthy. There we go again, if it's healthy.
Yeah, but you understand what you're doing, right? You're reading it, right? So this guy's dropping if he's healthy, but he's actually giving his opinion on what he thinks he's going to be.
Yeah.
So a lot of it is based on what he thinks he's going to be if he is healthy. So, yeah, if he's healthy, what do you think he's going to be?
No, I think
it's like you can't get past the he could get hurt. He could get hurt.
You know, I think there are both ends.
Hurt. I don't know. Tell me what else. Tell me more.
Listen, I think there are both ends of the spectrum in all of this. I really do. And I think that's what you're getting from a lot of people. I just think it's going to be far more difficult for him to do it. And if he is not healthy, and that's why so many teams passed on him, we can go over that over and over and over again. But if they felt he were healthy, there'd be more teams that would be willing to do it. Or Belichick would have gone after him earlier in the process.
Well, how many teams passed on Randy Moss when the Patriots were able to fleece the league and burn everyone's ass in 2007 when they only had to give up a 4th-round pick for who was arguably one of the 5 best receivers ever? And Glenn, we keep pointing back to 2015. MVP Cam Newton. He was bigger. He ran the league. He ran roughshod over everyone. The touchdown passes, the runs, the Superman. I'll take first half of 2018, Norv Turner coached Cam, who did a little running, but who did a lot more reading and deciphering and broke down defenses, and they ran a short to intermediate passing game, and his accuracy was the highest it ever was. And now he's got Edelman, and he's working with Sanu, who obviously we hope he has chemistry with in a bounce back season, and he's got arguably one of the better running back rooms in the league. So this is the offense that they're gonna slowly take him out. They're not just gonna say week one, like, well, we know you don't have the verbiage down entirely yet, but you're a pro quarterback and you can RPO. So, you know, why don't you just go see what you can do against the Dolphins, and then we'll huddle up tomorrow and review before we go to Seattle.
Is this the same Fitzy that before the Patriots signed him wanted nothing to do with Cam Newton?
Damn straight.
I just want to throw that out there. Damn. So suddenly he put the uniform on,
mm-hmm.
and all of the analysis just changed, just like that.
Did you not know how being a Foxborough fanboy works, Mr. Ordway?
Okay. I'm just throwing it out there. I'm just it out there.
And so
Listen, he could be terrific. He could be great. I hope he is, because if he is, then this team has a chance to be a lot better than what anybody thought. I just think what we've done is, and you've done it, Fitzy, you're the best example of it. You just bought in hook, line, and sinker after Bill Belichick picked them up for nothing. Scrap heap off the turf for $550,000.
But why did I trust them on Stidham, though? For the exact same reason, because if it's somebody who gets Belichick's trust, and if this is someone that McDaniels wants to work with.
Mistakes.
Yeah, I know he does.
He does it all the time. He also Luke can tell you about the last three drafts. And Lou's right. He's made a lot of mistakes in the draft in the last few years.
And he's been a
terrible. So you just can't take everything that Bill does and sit there and say it's all going to work.
I know.
It's just not going to all work.
I know they always don't work, but who's better at making, who's better at taking guys off the heap? Who's better at midseason evaluations and transitional trades?
But notice what they did when they wanted Antonio Brown. They went out there and put a lot of money on the line for Antonio Brown.
Yeah.
They put nothing on the line for this guy. So I think what's happening here is they're hoping they hit, you know, lightning in a bottle. Maybe it will happen. On the other hand, if anybody thinks that they really believe that this guy is, we snookered the entire league. We got all 31 of these teams and we snookered him. I think you're crazy.
Oh, that's
just
what
by
I think,
Bill's actions.
Matter of fact,
mm-hmm. Me, Lou, and Greg Olson.
That's what I think.
You think what, Lou?
Oh, I think they did something over on the rest of the league. Absolutely, they were in a great position. They were probably the only team left, other than Jacksonville, to where Cam Newton felt like he could go and start and do what he needs to do. Have a good year so we can get paid next year, because everybody forgot about him. So, yes, they were in that great position to be able to take advantage of Cam Newton still being out there looking for a job, looking for playing time, and they were able to get him for nothing. Yeah, I think they're very happy with themselves, and they should be.
So if Tommy Curran was right yesterday when he was talking about Tom Brady and the reason, and he's obviously backed off on that Tom Brady being here would have changed the minds of some of those guys. Why didn't those guys suddenly stay here now? Because they know Cam Newton's coming here. Why would they opt out if they knew that this is going to be a...
Would you believe Tom Curran?
No,
all right, so then you don't believe that either.
I was totally disingenuous when I threw that out there. By the way, talking about totally disingenuous, what a win by the Red Sox last night. They had it all the way. We will get to it coming up next. Fitzy filling in today, fiddling and diddling and filling in for Fourier this hour, brought to you by East Coast Metal Roofing.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.